I want to talk just a little bit tonight, just a little bit about the name of Jesus. You know, we talk about many things, but really it's all about Him. And it's that name that brings us all together here. Without Him, nobody would be here. We'd all be slaves of some burden somewhere. But now we're free. He changed everything. And although He lived so long ago on the earth, still alive today, but on earth, He impacted generations to come. And still today, people either love Him or hate Him, but they cannot ignore Him. He's there. And He'll always be there. And the best we can do is side with Him. And it doesn't help to run away from Him. The best we can do is run to Him. Now, the Bible's full of Him from beginning to end. I don't want to go through all of that tonight because we want to go home at some stage. But right in the beginning of history, God started talking about Him and what He would do. And I just want to go to Genesis chapter 3 just to pick up there on the early beginnings. Genesis chapter 3, right there when man fell through disobedience and created his own misery because he thought he'll figure out his own plan and do his own thing. And the only thing that he accomplished was to create misery for himself and everybody else. God already made the plan. He had the plan ready to redeem that situation. Genesis chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And here already, we begin to see that God had His plan ready. That what the enemy accomplished that day was not going to be the last word. That was going to change. Now, although he thought that he had a victory in his hand, it was just going to be a temporary thing. God was not going to leave matters where they were. See, the wonderful thing about God is this. His plans for man never change. His callings are without repentance. The purposes that God has will not be altered because things go wrong here and there. He's going to fulfill His plan. And He will fulfill His plan for your life if you stick to it. But He is willing, He is ready, and we just need to align ourselves with His will, and then things will be accomplished. The best life is a life that's fulfilled, and that's what we have in Him. And the enemy came in between and tried to cut that off and to turn man into a slave, because that's what happened that day. A man became his slave. There's a spiritual law. We see that several places here in the New Testament where it goes like this. Whom you choose to obey, you become that one's slave. And that's what happened here. Adam chose to obey Him and became a slave of the devil. And he was caught up in slavery ever since. Man is a slave. And unless you've been made free somewhere along the line, you're a slave. But God doesn't want us to be. He didn't make us to be slaves. He made us to be free. Amen. And where the devil came in between to spoil all of that, God had His plan ready. And he told the devil, somebody will be coming. And he will bruise your head. He will bruise your head. And we begin to see the first talk about Jesus that would come. The one that will change all of what went wrong in the garden. Now we go through history, and I just want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'll just we'll pick up here and there just a few things. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Moses is talking here with God. God speaking with Moses. And from verse 15, you know, Moses probably had the most thankless job on the planet. You know, there's 3 million of those Jewish people that he had to lead, rebellious, stubborn, difficult, always complaining, always whining, always unhappy with everything, and he had to lead them. And then the Bible says he was the kindest man on the face of the earth. You know, only God can help you with that. And they don't want to hear from God. They don't want to hear. They went and told Moses, "You tell God. He speak to you, not to us. We can't handle that. Don't come to us with that. We can't stand the smoke and the fire and the mountain and the thunder and all of that. That's too much for us. We can't handle that. You go and hear from God, and you can come and tell us." And see, to some extent, people are still like that. They always look for a go-between. You know, come tell me what God says. And God wants to have a relationship with every one of us. There are some things that will come to you through word from the Lord, through someone else and so on, but there are some things that God will share only with you. Nobody else. There are some intimate things that God will share only directly with you. And that's why we need to hear from God. Amen. But these people don't want to hear from God. They sent Moses. Now let's read here from verse 15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good.'" I want to say this respectfully, but I think God was a little tired of them too. He was a little tired of them too. There was a day when God said to Moses, "You stand aside, so I'm going to get them. You just stand aside, I'm going to get them now." And Moses says, "No, Lord, you cannot do that. They're your children." And what will the nations say? Because they all know, all these nations know, that you brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You can destroy them now. And God relented. And now he's saying that God says he's going to raise you up a prophet like me. Aren't you glad that we have a prophet that is not looking out for our destruction, but is looking out for giving us life, and that more abundantly, crushing the head of the enemy and ministering freedom to us and not bondage? Oh, there's a lot of people that still think that if you sign up with Jesus, you just sign up for a life that is so limited and void of all joy and all pleasure and all goodness. That's the mistake these people made. We cannot make that mistake. There's no life like his life. And he came to give us his life that more abundantly. Verse 17, "And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. I think what's important for us to know is this line, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Which really means when God spoke, it'll come to pass. You don't have to worry about that. What God spoke will come to pass. And that's good for us to know. That's good for us to know that what God speaks will come to pass. We don't have to force it. We don't have to manipulate things. We don't have to do anything. All we need to do is we believe it. You spoke it. I believe it. That's how God does things, you know. It all begins with the word of God that comes to us. Do you know that when God, the only way that God can reach the world we live in is through his people. And he's speaking through us and accomplish things through us. As we listen to his word and we obey him, things change and things happen. Praise God. And lives change for the better when we hook up with him and just obey the word that he speaks. And he's talking about Jesus here. Now, don't forget in the back of your mind, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And he came to dwell amongst us. He was in the beginning there when God spoke that creative word. That was him in action. That was him that created all things that we see around us. That was the promise that God made. A prophet will come. He will arise from among the brethren. He'll be one of you. He will rise up and he will speak and you listen to him. And so through the ages and different prophets and kings, even King David and so on, God spoke and he repeated his promise. He will come and added more to the promise. So they knew by the time that Jesus would come, they would know. Yet when he came, they didn't know about him. They didn't recognize him. They did not believe because he did not come the way they expected him to come. They thought that he will be some religious figure and come out of the religious elite. And because he didn't, they refused to receive him. I want to say a little bit more about that. Because, you know, God doesn't do things the way we expect him to do it. He does his own thing. And these people created a perception that was not what God meant. And an expectation that was not what God meant. And even the disciples, you know, they were walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he spoke with them concerning the kingdom, about everything that would happen. He spoke with them about that. And when he was about to go back to the Father, they asked him, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Because that's what they wanted. That's what they were not interested in what God wanted to do inside of them, restore them back to where Adam was before he fell in sin, in fellowship with God. They were only interested in a political solution for them. Their hearts were far removed from God. But that was, God had much more for them in store. He had much more in mind than just that. He wanted them to come back into his heart and have that intimate relationship with him again. And their hearts were not there. They were not hungry for God. All they wanted was a nice life with, you know, Romans out of the nation and all of that. That's not, God is not interested in that. You know, he wants people to be reconciled to him. That's how he changes the world, through hearts that are changed. When he becomes once again the king of our hearts, that's how he changes the world that we live in, from the inside out. And so they had this wonderful promise that God would raise up for them a prophet, just like Moses, the one that would be a leader, someone that they could follow, someone that would speak to them the oracles of God. And here Jesus was born. And we can pick up here in Luke chapter 1. And we believe all, I believe you all know about that, when Jesus was born, and verse 30, where God, the angel speaking to Mary, Luke 1, verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, when we look at the birth of John the Baptist, there's an interesting little bit of information there. When Zechariah was doing his temple service as priest, he went in just as he did. Now, remember, between the Old and the New Testaments, there's about 400 years that nothing happened. They just went on with their service. Nothing happened. There was no prophet. There was no word from the Lord. There was nothing going on. They were just rolling on their tradition and religion and so on. And so Zacharias is high priest. He's priest, and he's going in to do the incense and all of that. And that day was a different day. That one particular day was different. Because when he went in there, into the holy place, there was an angel. Suddenly, that he did not expect. And fear came upon him. Because he went in there probably thinking, I'll just go through the routine and do what I have to do, and then we'll get out and do what we always do. But that day was different because an angel was there to make an announcement. It scared the wits out of him. He didn't know what to think. The Bible says he was filled with fear. And the angel said to him, you're going to have a son. After they were barren all their lives, and they were old people now, you're going to have a son. And that son is not, that son is going to be a servant of God. But he's not going to be like you. He's not coming in the way that you have been ministering. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be different. As a matter of fact, he's not going to have your name. And when he started to talk with the angel about that, his mouth was shut. He couldn't spread the word because he kind of had unbelief there a little bit. And his mouth was shut. He couldn't talk. And eventually when John the Baptist was born, and people asked him, "What's his name? What's his name of this boy?" He said, "His name is John." And they said, "Well, why doesn't he have your name? Where's the family name in all of this?" He said, "His name is John." And with that came a brand new era. God changed the way he was speaking to man. God does things in a very different way. They expected someone to come and just perpetuate what the Father was doing, just going from Father to Son, and just turn the whole thing into a culture or a tradition, and just go on through the motions. And God had different plans, because he was going to be the forerunner. He was going to be the one to announce that Jesus would come. And so now, Jesus is going to be born, and he's not having his earthly dad's name. Totally different situation here. And you know, when I read that, I understand that God does things in a different way. We have to understand that when we begin to create expectations of what God's going to do and how he's going to do it, so that we might just be barking up the wrong tree. What we need to do is be in touch with God so that when he moves, we'll be with him. that we have that intimate relationship with him and know his voice, so that when God speaks, we'll be ready. And let me tell you something. When God speaks, it's going to be different. Oh, if it's not going to be different, he won't be speaking, because you'll be doing just what you do. When he speaks, you better know it's going to be different. It may be wild. It may be totally out of whack for you. I'm telling you, when God speaks, sometimes we make a little too little of what God speaks. Do you know that God's looking at this world, and in his heart is this dream. I'm going to see as many as possible of these people come into the kingdom. And as we're running out of time, things may become very different. Very, very different in the way God's going to reach out and use his people. And so we need to understand that when God speaks, it is going to be different. And so here Jesus comes, and he's born. He's not born in a way that is so acceptable to society. He's not born in a way where people will immediately receive him and recognize, well, this must be the one. Although all the signs were there and the birthplace and all of that, and so on, we understand that there were enough indications there, but they missed the point. They missed the point. They did not have that relationship with God to understand that he was there right in front of them. And they missed him. They missed him. And now Jesus is coming. He's standing there. He is doing things that nobody else did before. He's speaking. People listen to him and say, we've never heard anything like that. Because he doesn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees. Because he speaks with an authority. He speaks like somebody who knows what he's talking about. And when he speaks, things happen. There's a difference here. This is a difference, and they begin to follow him, listen to him. And they see when Jesus speaks, things change. People get healed. Demons are cast out. Just by speaking to them, things begin to change. The disciples, he sends them out there in Luke chapter 10. And he tells them, says, you go preach that the kingdom has come near you, and heal the sick, and cast out demons, raise the dead, do all of that. And they leave, and they come back, and they say, Lord, even the demons were obedient to you, subject to you, in your name. In your name. And here comes this name that has so much power that the religious people didn't recognize that, but the demons did. Lord in heaven, when the demons know more than we do, we're in trouble. I tell you, we have to understand the power that's in that name. We need to understand what's locked up in that name. When Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is in my name, we better believe it. We better believe it, because that's what he means. And that's our empowerment, that we don't do things in our own strength. We don't do things in our own ability. We speak in the name of Jesus. And we speak with that same authority, and we speak with faith in that name. We see things change. The first time I was confronted with a demon, I found that out. You realize the reality of the spiritual world when you see that happen. At first, I didn't know what to do. I had enough theoretical knowledge to know that I need to go there and speak in the name of Jesus. That's what I knew. But I tell you, when I walked there and that authority took a hold of me, I knew there was only one outcome here. That demon is out. There was no doubt about that, because that authority began to rise up inside of me. And I understood it was not mine, but it was in that name that the devil knew so well. And when I spoke in that name and I saw that demon leave and the change in that woman, I knew the reality of the spiritual world, but I also knew the power in the name of Jesus. That's a powerful name. Let me tell you something. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. Oh, they can refuse as long as they want, but a day will come when they will bow the knee and say, He is Lord. He's the one. He's the one that God said that would come and crush the head of the enemy and bring his defeat, render his defeat, and bring victory again to God's people. It's by his name. He's the one. Religion cannot save us. All the doctrine in the world cannot save us, but Jesus can. In his name there's healing. In his name there's deliverance. In his name there's freedom. In his name there's every blessing that God has for his children. It's in his name. And when we speak that name, things happen. And we better believe it. There was a day when the Apostle Paul was dealing with that demon in that young lady. And some people saw that. And they tried to cast out demons by the God of Paul. And those they didn't know the name. They didn't know. They were not connected to the name. See, that was their problem. They were not connected to the name. And they tried it, and those demons jumped on them and wounded them, and they fled away from that sea naked because there was no power. There was no power there. But when the Apostle Paul spoke in that name, deliverance manifested. He was connected to it. And the power of God flowed through him and set that woman free. There's power in that name. That one that God sent. He's the one. He's the one. And when that name, when we speak that name and we speak it in faith, we know that things change. We know that he's the one. Those disciples, they were not born again yet. They were not filled with the Holy Spirit like we are today. Yet when they spoke in that name, they saw miracles happen. There's a power in that name. There's power in the name of Jesus. We live in a day where that's the name that people are so scared of. Even today. You know, you can go to a public function and stand there and pray your most pious prayer. And leave the name of Jesus out, that prayer is going nowhere. Because he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's the door. I am the truth and the way and the life, Jesus said. We're not here to impress one another. We're here to speak the word of God. And we can only speak it in that name. That's the name that crushes the head of the enemy. That's that. No wonder it's so hated. No wonder it's so hated. Let's go to John chapter 5. And I'll just pick up verse 39. And he's talking here to religious people, leaders. He's talking to religious leaders. He's talking to the people who were supposed to recognize him and tell the nation this is him. He has arrived. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. They were searching the scriptures. They were doing Bible study after Bible study after Bible study for centuries and missed him. They missed him. They knew the scripture. They knew everything about him. They knew everything. When he stood there in front of them, they didn't know him. God help us. Man. You know, there are two trees. There were two trees in the garden. The tree of knowledge and the tree of life. And it's the tree of knowledge that tripped them up. And we still stand eating at that tree. Instead of standing at the tree of life and receiving that life that Jesus came to give us. And these people were there, and they had all the knowledge that you could have and missed him. God, we cannot make that mistake. The world cannot afford for the church to fall into that trap again. We need to know him. We need to know the power in his name. We must know his authority. We must know his priestly office. We must know that he intercedes for us. We must know that he crushes the head of the enemy. We must know that if we want to change the world that we live in. And the church will rise up again once again and be strong and powerful. And fear will come. Nobody's scared of the church today. Because we are so filled with knowledge. And nobody's scared. I tell you what, God's plan is still on track. And the church will find that out. Because we're not living here in defeat. We're living in glory. And we will accomplish what God gave us to accomplish. We will be the church. The church will rise up strong. And it's going to be in the name of Jesus. And we will come to that full understanding. And that's why I prayed, Lord, let revelation knowledge just light up your hearts. That once again, we will have the revelation of his name. And not just head knowledge. And all that his name means. That we will have that reverential fear for that name. That is so powerful. That is above every other name. Praise God. The name that we have is a powerful name. It may not be the most popular name, but it is the most powerful name. There is no name like the name of Jesus. There is no name. There is no one like him. And everything will be under his feet. Amen. He is going to crush the head of the enemy. Listen, the enemy cannot win. The enemy cannot win against the church. The enemy cannot win in your life. If you are connected to that name, you win. Amen. You win. There is no way that name will crush the head of the enemy in your life and set you free, because that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to seek sinners, not to condemn them, but to save them. And if the Son has made you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. Bless the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's just worship from our hearts. Bless you, Lord. We honor you. Thank you for that name. The most powerful name given to us. The name above all names. The name that makes demons tremble. Brings fear in the camp of the enemy, but joy in the hearts of your people. What a name you've given us. And Father, we're honored tonight to have that name in our hearts. We are honored today to be connected to that name, and we will not be ashamed of that name, but we will mention it with pride. We will keep our heads high when we speak that name. And we will do it with confidence and joy and with the full understanding of the authority that's locked up in that name. Thank you that he came not just to be another prophet, not just to be another one that speaks, but to crush the head of the enemy and to speak a word that will come to pass. Hallelujah. Blessed is your holy name. Praise you, Lord. Blessed is your name. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Blessed name. Blessed name. Blessed name above all names. I wonder if there's a few of us who just want to bring honor to that name, just out of your heart.
how to do it. Just put your trust in him to do it. His way. It is when obedience becomes the most important thing. More important than our dignity and our own position and the stuff we like and our own preferences. It's about obeying God in faith. That's how victory comes. That is how victory comes. Now, let's close your eyes. Every eye closed. We're not looking around. Don't worry about the person next to you now. Now I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm talking to you. I don't know what God put inside of you. I have no idea. You know. You know. I don't know what you're struggling with. You know, and God knows. But this morning, I'm here to tell you that God can do something for you that you never thought could be possible. God can cut through your circumstances. He can cut through your wrong thinking and your wrong expectations and your own desire for dignity and honor and all of that stuff. He can cut through all of that and touch you at the point of your need. He can do it. And raise you up. And use you as a testimony of his power. And show the world what he can do with somebody who was down there in the dust that nobody had any hope for. And raise you up and put an authority inside of you and a wisdom and a strength and a power and faith that will overcome anything that the devil can bring against you. God can do it. All things are possible. There's nothing impossible to God. All things are possible. Now, if you believe this morning, if you are willing to go on this journey with him, and while every eye is closed, we're not going to look around. It's not about other people now. If that is you, I want you to quickly stand, just in your seat, just stand up. Don't worry. Don't worry now. It's not about being dignified and all of that. It's not. This is about breaking through. This is about breaking away. Breaking away from the opinions of people. Breaking away from your own opinions and your own self-esteem. Just breaking away from all of that stuff. And becoming the person that God made you to be. People are standing. I'm standing too. We're going to trust God today. We're going to trust God today. Our hope is on him alone. Our eyes, we tear away from our circumstances and our own selfish ambitions and desires, and we focus on him alone. Today, that's the only thing that counts. That's the only thing that counts today, is breaking through with God. Breaking through with God. Thank you, Lord. The Word of God is able. The Word of God is able to do more than we can ever dream or think. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty power. Thank you for your mighty power. I want to join my faith to yours this morning. And I would like for you to just come to the front. I just want to just quickly pray with you, just a very short prayer. Let's create an atmosphere of breakthrough. An atmosphere of breakthrough. Bless you, Lord. All things are possible. All things are possible. We're at that place now. We're at that place. We have to dip in the Jordan. Muddy old stream. Doesn't matter. We're at that place where we need to take that step. And take that step of faith right now. Now this morning, I'm going to lay my hands on you, but you're not receiving from me. You're not receiving. Don't have your eyes on me. You'll be disappointed. Your eyes should be focused on God now. Just look deep inside of you. God's speaking there. Inside of you, there's a stirring. Now that's Him. There's a tug at your spirit. That's Him. That's Him. He's ready to do it for you. He's ready to do it for you. Thank you, Lord. You do it in Jesus' name.